Turn to Psalm 99, and verse 3 and 5. I want to talk to you about something. I preached a while back on the holiness of God, an unheard of doctrine in the churches that we now know. And I want to kind of expound on that a little more tonight. I got thinking about it today. But Psalm 99, if you will, verse 3 says, "Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy." Verse 5 says, "Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." The holiness of God. Amen. I have an English Bible, the real one, over 400 years old. So when I want to know what a word says, I just find me an English dictionary. So I looked up the word holiness to see exactly what it should mean, because I'm from the south side of Lancaster and things don't always mean the same there as they do in the dictionary. And the dictionary says this: absolutely separate from common things in absoluteness and majesty. Separate from all human and earthly, divine in character and being, separate from all physical beings and sin. And I got thinking about that. He is holy. And the Bible emphasizes his holiness a lot. And the reason we need to be saved is because he is holy. He's separate from all sin and physical things. If we did not get saved, we would not receive his holiness, and we would contaminate heaven and make it unholy. If people could go to heaven without being saved, then they would be sinful, and that's the opposite of holy, so that would ruin a holy heaven. Amen? We're God's holy people. We're gathered in God's holy place. We have a holy book. We have a holy faith. We have a Holy Ghost. We have a Holy Father. God's name is thrice holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He's in a holy place, on a holy throne, with holy angels, in a holy house, in a holy tabernacle. And he's made us holy. He's given us heavenly holiness. There's holy angels. There's a holy Son. There's a holy Bible. And you know what? The Bible is filled with the holiness of God. You can't know who God is without first realizing what holiness is and how he is holy. There's no way to get around it. Now, our current, not ours, but the current general thought in a lot of churches is somehow holiness doesn't mean that much. Holiness is not a big deal. They'll say, well, it's not what you see, it's what's on the inside. Well, Jesus said, "The abundance of thy heart, thy mouth speaketh." He said we're supposed to shine as a light to the world. So that means the outside as well as the inside. Amen?
Amen.
Holiness is important. Don't put it down. A lot of Christians make fun of people who try to live holy and who try to talk holy and walk holy and behave holy. And a lot of so-called Christians, I'd call them church members, make fun of those of us who believe we should separate ourselves from the world and be ye holy. And they make fun of us. They call us holy rollers. I said, no, a holy roller is that guy that felt so holy on Sunday morning, he rolled back over in the bed and didn't go to church. Amen. That's a holy roller. And they call us Bible thumpers. They call us Bible thumpers. They call us the fringe element. They call us fanatics. And they call us all kinds of things because they don't like that word holy, because holy means absolutely separate from common things and separate from all human or earthly things, divine in character, being separate from all physical beings and sin. They don't like that. Because, see, the current thought is God's like some big Santa Claus sitting on a throne up there, And one day, after it's all over and the earth melts with a fervent heat and the heavens roll back like a scroll, Grandpa's going to walk over there to the gate to all those lost people, and like a grandpa would to his grandchildren, you know, he'll open the gate and say, "Ah, come on in anyway." Well, if he did that, then Jesus was holy for nothing. And he died, he died on the cross for nothing. He rose from the grave for nothing. He lived holy for nothing. He taught holy for nothing, if that's true, but we know it's not. It's not going to end that way, amen? So I got to thinking about that, his holiness. I got to think about his character, what he really is. Your character is not what people think of you. It's what's on the inside of you, what you really are. Not many people know our character. God does. His character is holy. His name is holy. His words are holy. His kingdom is holy. His promises are holy. And in the end, his judgments will be holy. It'll all be perfect, separate from sin and separate from the physical and separate from anything that's anything at all that's wrong. He's separate from it because he's holy. That's his character. The Bible says that he cannot lie. That's because he's holy. He can't lie. Lying would be unholy. And that's part of his character. Now, did you know that we as Christians, we call ourselves saints? We're supposed to imitate his holiness? We're supposed to imitate his holiness. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you will. Look at verse 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. In verse 15, Peter says, inspired by the Holy Ghost, he said, "But as he which has called you," that's you that are saved, "is holy," that's the one that called you, Jesus Christ, "so be ye holy," in what? "In all manner of conversation," that's your lifestyle, "because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, so we're supposed to imitate his holiness. We're supposed to, and years ago there was a saying going around, I never used it, I thought it was kind of flippant and people weren't serious about it, I know they weren't, but they would say, "Well, what would Jesus do?" Well, that's what that means. We're supposed to imitate him, and whatever we do, we're supposed to be trying to be holy like him, so anything we do, we'll think, "Well, what would he do right here? What would he say right here? How would he act right here?" Amen? Amen. Because we want to be holy too. And he says, if we're going to heaven, it's not a request. I didn't say a request. It said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." That's a command. That's just as much as a command as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just as much as a command as believe and be baptized or to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Be ye holy. It's a command. It's not a request, son. And God expects out of his people. We're supposed to imitate him and be ye holy. Now, we should look at Psalm 30, verse 4. Turn back just a couple of psalms there. Psalm 30, verse 4. And since we're having a business meeting, I'm trying to go a little faster. Psalm 30, verse 4. I can't go too fast, so I'll start hacking. I can't hack. Most of y'all don't even know what hacking is. Most of you don't even know what hacking is. "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his" what? It didn't say his mercy. It didn't say his grace. It didn't say his goodness. It didn't say his long-suffering. It said, give thanks for his what?
Holiness.
Holiness. Because if he wasn't holy, none of those other things would even count. He wouldn't even be God. If he wasn't holy, then the mercy and the grace and the long-suffering and the goodness and all those things, I can be that. You can be that. But it won't amount to anything if it's not by a holy God. That gives him the right to save you, see. And I don't have a right to save you. I can have mercy on you. I can be long-suffering toward you. I can give you grace, but I can't save you because I'm not holy. Only God has that ability to do. Now, but the first thing you ask people, why should we praise the Lord? Well, we ought to praise him for his love. Well, we ought to, but you need to remember his love wouldn't save you if it wasn't for his holiness. His holiness ought to be at the top of the list, and that's what he's saying here. That we ought to fear him in Revelation 15:4. Go up Revelation 15:4. Well, to praise Him for His holiness. In chapter 15, verse 4, it says, "Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest." Well, His judgments wouldn't mean anything if He wasn't holy. See? Now, only holiness can judge sin. Now, a lot of times people say, "Well, you can't judge me." Well, if you're doing something sinful and I'm not, I can tell you that's sinful. Amen. That's what holiness is. Holiness can say, "That's right. Over there, that's wrong. That's wrong. Over here, this is right." Now, because here is trying to imitate God and live holy, and over there, you're living unholy like the world and the flesh and the devil. And yes, I'm supposed to judge that in my life and everybody I come in contact with, because I got to make decisions on whether or not you're going to be my close friend or just friend. I've got to make decisions. Can I take advice from you or not? Can I confide in you or not? Can I trust you or not? Holiness is what does that, see? So we're to fear the Lord because of His holiness, because He is holy, it gives Him the right to judge.
Amen. Yeah.
And I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what the Holy One said. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus said that's wrong. God said that's wrong, and this is right. So we ought to fear Him for His holiness. Look at, if you will, look at Revelation 4:8. Revelation 4:8, I'm talking about the holiness of God. Not many people even know about it anymore. When was the last time you turned on a TV preacher and he preached on the holiness of God? No, he wants $50 more million so he can buy that exercise jet. He's already got one, the mini size. Now he wants the supersize jet for $50 million. And what's the prophecy preacher that used to come on all the time? All the Jack Van Impey. He came out the other week and said, "You're to send him your tithes." He's losing his mind. He said, "You're to send him your tithes because he can use that money through those multi-million-dollar television satellites that he's put up there and all that stuff." And how do I know he's put them up there? I ain't never seen them. I didn't see them blast off. But anyway, that he can reach more money, more people with your money than your local church can. Well, that may be so, but that's not the way God said to do it. Amen? He didn't say bring your tithes into the satellite church. Amen. The invisible church. Amen. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, and the four beasts, and each of them six wings, had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and look what they do. And they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Did you know all of heaven magnifies the holiness of God?
Amen.
It didn't say loving, loving, loving. It said holy, holy, holy. It didn't say forgiving, forgiving, forgiving. Though He is, but it magnifies 24/7 His holiness. Separate
Amen.
From all evil. Separate from all physical being. Separate from all sin. All of heaven magnifies that. Now, how do you think the modern church people will feel when they get to heaven and it ain't about them and their little heartbreak songs? "Jesus is my boyfriend" song. You ever went to church and felt like you was the backup group because that guy on the piano was playing, was singing the song, and all you got to do was sway and sing two or three words with him? How are they going to feel when they go to heaven? All of heaven's doing this: "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty." All day long, every day, all night long, if there was a night. 24/7, they're praising His holiness. That is the theme of heaven. Now, yes, He is forgiving. Yes, He is loving. Yes, He is long-suffering. Yes, He's the God of grace and mercy. But only can He be qualified to do that to save you is because He is holy. See, I can love you. I love you, brother. Amen. I love you. But I can't save you. I'll be long-suffering toward you. I will. I'll be long-suffering toward you. But it won't do anybody any good but me and you. And it's not going to get you to heaven because, see, I don't qualify to forgive you of your sins because I've sinned. Come on.
That's right.
Hey, I'm not qualified to give you redemption because I need it myself. Amen. Only one's qualified to do that because he's never sinned. He's never come short. He's never failed. He's never fallen. He is holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. So therefore, all of heaven magnifies his holiness, number one. You know, the average Christian today thinks heaven's all about them. Every one of them. Hey, they know that in my Father's house are many mansions. And they think God created heaven just for us. God didn't create heaven for us. He created heaven for him and his Son. And they're the ones going to be magnified, Brother Billy, not me and you.
Amen.
They're the ones going to be worshipped, not me and you. He just allowed us to come, that's all. We're even strangers. He had to graft us in. We're not even part of the promises. He had to adopt us. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And he adopted us and put us in his family. Now, he did that because he's loving, yes. He did that because of his grace, yes. But he did that because he had the authority to do that because he's the Holy One. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Now, look, here's what the modern day church is missing. You can't convince people that they need a Savior until you convince them that there's a holy God going to judge them.
That's right.
Is that why people skip it? We don't skip it, but is that why some places skip that? Is that why some churches skip that? Some preachers, some evangelists skip that? Because, see, in order to convict you, I've got to convince you there's a holy God. You've got to stand before one day and give account for the deeds done in your body. And people don't want to hear that. I mean, it's everywhere. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. You can't judge me. No, I don't have to. There's one bigger than me coming.
Amen. Yes.
Every once in a while, I'll get around somebody that doesn't know me or very well, don't know me, and they'll get to cussing. I'll just stand there and look at them, and then they say, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. I said, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm not the one you're going to answer to for that. I said, there's an angel in heaven writing down every word, and you're going to stand before a holy God. It doesn't matter what I think.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
That's why you preach against sin, to warn people to flee from the wrath to come from a holy God. He has the right to be wrathful. He has the right to judge. He has the right to condemn because he's pure and perfect and holy, unlike any other creator in creation in the universe, because he's the creator. Holiness. You know, it used to be you talk to people and you try to, when you were, you know, out of the Lord's will, you try to tempt somebody to do something wrong. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They turn around and look at you with that eye. I'm not doing that. I'm trying to live for the Lord.
Amen.
You know what that meant? They were trying to be holy. They may not even knew that, but they were trying to be holy. Used to be, it wasn't hard to spot a Christian in a crowd.
That's right.
Yep. Amen. Well, when I was a little boy, I was scared of them. They were different. They give me the heebie-jeebies, man. Those people had something about them that just scared me. And that's the way it's supposed to be. When we walk into a room or a hospital room or something, Brother Ron, if we walk in a hospital room, there ought to be some holy conviction and some holy comfort in going on there because the Holy Ghost lives in us and on us. You say, well, when I go in the break room at work, everybody scatters. Well, that's what happens when light goes into a dark room.
That's right.
The dark has to scatter. The light stays. Amen. Because light's more powerful than dark. And so, holiness is nothing but the light of God. That's what it is. It will cleanse things. Now, I can tell some of you, you kind of look like Holroyd's new cow looking at that new gate he just had to go through. You've never heard stuff like this. But let me tell you something. I like the doctrine of holiness.
Amen. Yeah.
I like it. I'm not white trash anymore like they used to call me. I'm a child of God, man. I'm covered in the white robes of righteousness of Jesus Christ. He clothed me in His righteousness, inside and out, by the way. Inside and out. And that holiness changed my life. A lot of people, their lives never changed, Billy. Could it be because they didn't get the holiness of God? Could it be they went through a motion or a prayer, or they went through some church ceremony or the baptismal pool, or they joined something or went to some kind of class, and now they think they're Christians and they still do not realize what the holiness of God requires?
Come on now. Yeah.
That day I knew I was going to hell.
Amen.
She didn't have to read me no scripture. I knew I was going to hell. I knew if there was a right and there was wrong, I was wrong. I knew if there was a heaven and there was a hell, I was going to hell. I knew if there was a God in heaven, I had some things I had to answer for. Amen? I didn't know all those commandments, but I knew if there were any, I broke them.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Come on now, yeah.
I knew I wasn't holy. I knew I wasn't prepared to go to heaven. I knew if I died, if there was a hell, I was going straight to hell, and I wasn't going to pass go nor collect $200. Amen. I was going straight to hell, man. I knew, hey, look, I grew up old redneck, Lancaster, lost and going to hell kind of people. But I knew there wasn't no priest that could pray me out.
Amen.
I knew there wasn't a preacher that could pray me out. I knew there wasn't a purgatory where I could go and sit a while till He let me go on up into heaven. I knew that God was holy and I was unholy. That's all I knew. That was it. You didn't have to preach to me about wrong living. I knew my living was wrong. I knew my thought was wrong. I knew my behavior was wrong. I knew my words was wrong. I felt unholy.
Amen.
But then that day, 6th pew on the left-hand side of Eastside Baptist Church, about the 300th verse of Just As I Am without one plea. Brother Billy, when I stepped out of that pew and started walking down that aisle, I could feel the filth and the ungodliness and the burden just falling off of me as I wept and walked down that aisle. With every tear, I got a little bit lighter. I didn't know one Bible verse. I didn't know John 3:16. I did not know any of that. I just knew I needed a Savior, because if He was holy, I wasn't.
Amen?
I was saved and didn't know it before I ever got in the prayer room with Wayne Henson. He took me through some scriptures. Admit you a sinner. Believe on Christ. Confess it with your mouth. I did. He said, just pray. Can you pray and ask Him to save you? I said, I don't know how to pray. He said, if I tell you what to pray, will you pray it? If He'd have told me I'd stand on my head and twirl around backwards and whistle Dixie, I'd have done it. Well, I'd try to anyway. Amen. Amen, wouldn't you? Hey, I was ready to get rid of that stuff, man. I felt like I had the plague. Amen? I needed some peace of God. And the only thing that was going to bring that was going to be the holiness of God to cleanse me of my sins.
Amen.
Now, daily I go to Him for that.
Yes, sir.
Changed my life. Changed my vocabulary. Well, I went to work, and I was always the youngest guy in those factories, you know, and the old dirty old men like to grab to the young guy and teach him all their bad jokes and stuff, you know. And after I got saved, I didn't know how to tell people I got saved. I didn't even know what it meant. I knew something had happened. And then finally one day I'm working with the dirtiest old man in the department. I'm not going to call his name. Some of y'all might would know him. He's gone now. But we were cleaning this wheels on this big old thing, you know, wheels on it. And he told a dirty joke, and I didn't laugh. He said, boy, what's wrong with you? I said, ain't nothing wrong with me. He said, yeah, something wrong with you. You ain't cussed in 2 weeks. He said, you ain't told a dirty joke. You don't even laugh at them no more. There's something different about you. I said, yeah, there is. He said, what is it? He said, you've been going to church, haven't you? I said, yeah. You ought to come down there with me. That preacher preaches it every Sunday. He can tell you how to get this too. He said, don't start preaching at me, boy. Then they started calling me deacon. Then the more I witnessed, they changed that to preacher. but let me tell you something. The holiness of God does that, see. I was as liberal-minded as you could get. I mean, I was one of those Democrat-type people. I'm telling you, man, I was as liberal as you could get. I'd have tried to convince you there's flying saucers and they're coming back to get us, you know. I had all kind of wild. But as soon as I got saved, He gave me a new mind and things began to straighten out. And the more I read His Word, and the more I got in His presence, and the more I went to church, the more holy I began to think.
Yes.
And then the more holy I began to behave. And then the more holy I began to dress. And the more holy I treated other people. Now you see, nothing can do that. The baptismal pool can't do that. I believe in baptism. I'm a Baptist. My ancestor died for baptism. The Catholic Church killed them, drowned a lot of them. But let me tell you something. The baptismal pool will not save you. It is an outward sign, a ceremony to show what's already happened on the inside. I believe in the Lord's Supper. We don't do enough around here. And I'm going to tell you why we don't do enough. And I'm ashamed of telling you, but I'm going to start doing it more often, because every time I announce it, Baptists that have sin in their life lay out because they're afraid God's going to kill them if they take the Lord's Supper. And that's not even what that means.
Amen.
We got quiet on that. Thank you, sis, for that one amen. 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 Thank you. You got my back. Amen. I'm all about dressing right, but dressing right won't get you to heaven. Talking right, it's the holiness of God which He gives you, and then that will change your life. Now, if you don't get it, and somehow you did get to slip into heaven, you'd be the most miserable person that ever lived.
Come on now. Yeah.
Number one, you're going to be in the presence of holiness itself, God. Number two, everybody there is all about that holiness of God. And number three, they're rejoicing that He gave them some holiness so they could go to heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
And you're going to be standing there, and you'll have absolutely nothing to praise God about, and you'll be one miserable person. Amen?
Amen.
And the people in hell are even now recognizing His holiness. Now, did you know because His holiness will serve Him? I got quiet on that one too, Brother Ron, didn't it? That serving, you know. A lot of people like to sit at the table, but not many people like to work in the kitchen. Amen. Joshua, get your Bible, turn to Joshua 24. Joshua 24, verse 19. Joshua had it settled. He got it settled. You ought to get it settled one day. I got it settled a long time ago. Number one, I got it settled, I got saved. I've never had a problem with my salvation. I've never had a doubt about my salvation. I've had a doubt about things about me sometimes, but never anything about the salvation of Jesus Christ. Amen? I've been preaching for 37 years, and I've had doubts about my preaching, but I've never doubted Him. Amen? Not what He does. Look at Joshua 24. He got it settled. In Joshua 24, verse 19, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. For He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He has done you good. Now, a lot of people run around this town thinking they're serving God, and they're not living right. They're not living right. And they're trying to serve God. And God, Joshua said, you can't serve God like that. Boy, if you said that in the average church today, they'd stone you. I went to the Shepherd's Fold bookstore not long ago, and I walked in there, and I come up at the counter. I had bought some Bibles and had names put on, so I was in line. And I thought I was behind this woman. Had on these old tattered blue jeans. They were ripped all to pieces from here, from the pockets, all the way down front and back. Yeah. Had on a diamond stud shirt. Had on a wavy hairdo down about here, you know, all wavy and curly. Had a couple of earrings in. And as that person is leaving the counter so I can get up there, the clerk said, thank you, Pastor.
Yeah.
It was a man. A man can't serve God like that. You can't live like the world, unholy. And so, and of course, his excuse would be, you got to do this to win them. No, that's not what won me. No, sir. I didn't go to a Led Zeppelin concert to get saved.
Amen.
I didn't go to a Black Sabbath concert to get saved. Amen. I went to church. where people looked holy and talked holy and acted holy and worshiped holy and loved holy and they served holy. You say whatever you want to. You can't, you can't eat with the buzzards and fly with the eagles.
Amen.
Write that down somewhere, Jeffrey. I just thought of that. Write that down. Thank you, Lord. That was good. But we want to serve Him because of His holiness. What that old song say? Who am I that a king would die for? I mean, who are we? We're saved by the grace of God. We're kept by the grace of God. We have love in our hearts because of the grace of God. We do everything because of the grace of God. And He allows us to serve Him.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
We don't deserve it.
No.
I struggled with becoming a preacher. I was called to preach. And I struggled with it for over a year. Because I thought I had to be perfect to be a preacher. I didn't know preachers wasn't perfect. I'd never seen my pastor in a pair of short breeches. Did you ever see him in a pair? That would have been an ugly sight, wouldn't it? And you don't want to see this one in them either. I thought pastors and preachers were perfect, Brother Ron. Because I knew they were supposed to be holy. But I didn't know that it's the holiness of God that gives them the grace of God that they can serve Him, see. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're saved by the grace of God through His holiness, He can use you to serve Him if you live holy. Now, holy is just abstaining from sin and all appearance. Matter of fact, He says we're supposed to abstain from the very appearance of sin. Nowadays, everything's questionable. Well, I just don't know. The pastor says this. I just don't agree with that. We used to have a preacher come here who would say that. He'd take people on a trip. And he'd say, I love Brother Ron and everything, but you know, I don't agree with him on such and such. Finally, Rudy told him, he said, you don't want to go to our church. You need to go back up yonder. Thank you, Rudy. Amen. Good job. Amen. Real deacon material. Amen. These people want to serve God, but they want to look, act, and behave unholy. Now, none of us are perfect. And if you want to find our imperfections, ask my wife. She'll tell you. Well, I hope she won't, but she could. What are you talking about? If your wife started writing a book, you'd be in big trouble, brother. Oh, she's not
allowed to.
But... All right, that doesn't ruin my sermon. Get back in the book. Listen, the holiness of God, He decides how we can serve Him according to our devotion to His holiness. Now, everybody can serve God in some way, but not everybody can serve God in the same capacity because God does call us to do particular things. And sometimes we don't get to do what we want to do, or maybe we even have the gift and abilities to do because we're not walking in holiness. Brother Holroyd would be a good example. Brother Holroyd come here. He's just trying to get back in the will of God. And I said, and he messed up. He told me he had an education. And I said, well, you're a jewel in this place. He told me I had an education and music. I said, well, we need a choir. He said, well, I used to lead the choir. Didn't you tell me that you used to lead the choir? He said, but I can't do that no more. I said, yes, you can. I started praying. And then one day, after many weeks of getting things settled and getting things right in his life, he comes up to me and said, preacher, can I start a choir?
Amen.
I said, amen. And now we got one of the best choirs in town. Amen. 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 And I'm certain, as good as some of you are in your area, if it weren't for your dedication to the holiness of God, living for God, God wouldn't even use you in that area. There's a lot of good speakers that can't preach. God won't let them. There's a lot of good singers that try to sing for God, but it doesn't work. We've had them come through here. You know, they bring those CDs. I got to do it. I'm sorry. They'll bring that CD and they'll plug it in back there. And they got a beautiful voice. And they stand up to sing. And they go about maybe six words. And then they say, hold it, stop, start over. I messed up. And the Spirit goes, whew. Because, see, they're not doing it in the holiness of God. They're doing it in pride. They're saying, I can sing better than this. Let me start over. See what I'm saying? So we just made a rule. We don't use CDs no more. We got the best piano. We got two best piano players now. They can play piano. They can play the organ. We got a guitar picker.
Not the best.
I didn't say it's the best. We got a choir. We got people that can do things. Thank God he sends laborers. But we got to serve him because his holiness requires that we serve him. Amen? And then last but not least, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Every Baptist preacher has three closings. I went over. Hebrews 12, verse 14. He says, follow peace with all men. And what?
Holiness.
Oh my goodness, he didn't say that, did he? Follow peace with all men. And holiness, which without no man shall see who?
God.
We must have holiness to go to heaven. Now, I'm not saying you can live good enough to go to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we imitate him. Of course, you're going to fail. You're human. You're not God. Keep short accounts with God. Stay close to God. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to thee. You can fail sometimes, still be a good Christian. You don't have to quit, give up, throw in the towel. You can still get up, admit what you did, ask God to forgive you, receive his holiness, and go on. You're looking for sinless perfection, we might as well just lock the doors and go home. Eh? Nobody in here's got that. And I'm not justifying sin. I'm just saying it's not our holiness that gets us to heaven. It's his holiness that gets us to heaven. Because his holiness is what loved us and sought us and bought us and keeps us and will present us faultless before his presence. His holiness. I know some of your friends come and they leave here and they say, man, that preacher's crazy. I ain't never heard nothing like that. Or y'all some kind of lunatic friends or something. Or y'all are old fashioned. Yes, that's a compliment. I don't know what they mean by old fashioned, but they mean old Bible believing. Yes, that's it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we don't have old fashioned day. Not here. I'll tell you why. I don't have any overalls. I've never lived on a farm. I don't have no Brogan boots. I've never lived over 2 miles outside the city. I'm a city kid. Now, if we have old-fashioned day, I'm going to wear the purple with the bleached-out spots, monster bell-bottom blue jeans. That's my old-fashioned day. That's all I got. You know, that's my old-fashioned. I'll put me a headband on. And then that'll be worldly, amen? So we're not having an old-fashioned day. amen. Well, aren't you glad that God bathes us in his holiness?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he makes us holy?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that he shares his holiness with us, Brother Ben?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that he didn't just baptize you in that pool of water, but he baptized you in himself? Now, when people see us, they're supposed to see him.
Right.
Not the world. Not worldly living. Not worldly dress. Not worldly behavior. Not worldly habits or hobbies. But they're supposed to see Christ.
Right.
You say, well, I'm not that good a Christian. Well, just keep your mouth shut and look right and act right.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Nobody will ever know it. Nobody will ever know it. Just don't know. It's better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Just don't say nothing. Amen? Walk right. Look right. Behave right. People will know you are. Sometimes I wonder if some people if they went to court for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict them?
Right. Come on.
I really think a lot wouldn't. The devil has deceived a lot of people.
Yes,
and he's deceiving a lot of churches. Now, I might be, a fellow told me I was trying to take church back to the 50s. I'm not trying to take church back to the 50s. I was born in 54. What good would that do me? I don't even know how they acted in the 50s. I want to take it back to the first century. I want to get back like the disciples were. Amen? Amen. So, are you holy? Do you worship God in holiness? Do you pray and ask your prayers in holiness? Because he's not going to hear unholy prayers. Do you behave holiness? Do you dress holiness? Do you walk holiness? Preacher, we're not holiness. Yes, we are. We're saved. He said, be ye holy. He said, no man will see God except he be holy. I'm not asking you to go put on a gingham dress down to your ankles and down to your wrist and put your hair up in a bun. I wouldn't be against you if you did. But I'm saying there's a standard of holiness in everything. And I can't make your conviction for you as what by what's right and what's wrong. I can't do that. I go to see people sometimes. You think the sheriff showed up. I'll knock on the door and look through that screen door and they're over there throwing magazines under the couch and turning TV channels and putting up clothes. And wait a minute, I got to go put some clothes on. Well, I thought you already supposed to have clothes on. I'm not the sheriff. I'm just the pastor, you know. I can't make you do anything. I'm not going to tell you what to watch on television. You got the same Holy Ghost living in you that I've got living in me. If he tells me it's wrong, I know he's told you it's wrong. Amen. Let's be holy. I think if we are holy, people will notice. And I think Bible even goes so far to say that they will ask us what the hope is within us, why we're different. Why are you different? People will be scared of you. You won't have to worry about people embarrassing you, hurting your feelings. They'll avoid you like the plague, man. Darkness doesn't like light, amen? So let's be holy. Hey, let's have a holy church. You want to know why Holroyd sings most of our songs out of the hymn book? Because they were written by holy men.
Amen.
Now, not all of them, but most of them, you know. And you know why we're so careful about who serves here? Because we're supposed to be holy servants. Let's do it. If we could get people to do that, we'd have more people saved. When church was holy, more people got saved. When preachers was holy, more people got saved. When Christians were holy, more people got saved. Now the world looks so much like the church, you don't know where the church starts and the world starts. I think if we'll get closer to God, God will bless it, don't you?
Yes.
Somebody said the other day, said, well, I think my wife, she was testifying, she said, every time we come to church, it's like a revival. And it is. It is. And I think we got to, well, I wouldn't come here if I didn't. I think it's the best church in town. But I don't think we can ever be too holy. Do you? I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says you can be too holy. Now, wait a minute, preacher. You're going to get so heavenly-minded, you know, earthly good. Well, I'd rather be heavenly-minded than earthly-minded because you ain't no heavenly good.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Father,